Welcome to Relationships Unraveled. I'm Miranda, and I am here to help you unravel your relationships and live the life you were created for. Together, we are going to learn and grow in how to navigate the many relationships that make up our lives. We're going to do this by having conversations that go below the surface. So, let's shock the norm. Let's try something different and start discovering the next step forward as we talk through life together. God created us for relationships. So it's no surprise that we learn best how to navigate them together. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm excited you're here, and I am a little bit giddy today because the topic we're unraveling is so simple. Now, I realize that some of the stuff we talk about here and some of the things we unravel are not simple at all, right? I mean, they sound good in theory, but like, to go out and apply them is very challenging. And so today, I have something for you that is pretty easy. I feel like everybody can be successful with this one. And it is kind of like a golden rule to communicating in any relationship. It's beautiful and it matters. And you know, as most of you know, I'm in graduate school and we're taking a class this spring about leadership and organizational change. And this exact concept was in one of the books that I was reading. And so it reminded me of it. And I thought, you know what? That is something so simple. I want to unravel that with everybody so we can start putting that into practice in our relationships. So I want to know, have you ever had the same argument with someone or the same disagreement or the same issue over and over and over, and you keep saying the same exact thing and you get nowhere? I know I've done that. I'm pretty sure you have too. And this one couple I knew one time, so the wife, she said the same thing for years. I mean, the whole marriage. She kept saying, "You never put me first." Okay. This is what she kept saying. And so, she said it a million times, but nothing ever, I mean, nothing. He would say the same argument back to it, and they would just go around and around that tree over and over. So today, what we're unraveling is defining common language. This is something so easy, you guys. It's everybody can do this, and everybody should do this, because this is a game changer, okay? Now, the reason I say common language is because it makes sense to define uncommon language, right? You hear words or phrases that aren't common, you're going to go, what does that mean? And that makes sense, right? That's obvious. What's not so obvious is that we need to define common language, because common language, we assume everybody knows what you mean. We say it all the time. It's used often. It's common. And common language is different in different contexts. So you have common language used in church. You have common language used in marriage. You have common language used in parenting. Okay, there's tons of different arenas that you have this common language. So defining it makes all the difference, because we assume that everybody's on the same page just because the language is common. But we're all bringing a different life story, different lens, different perspective, different way of experiencing the world. We're all bringing different things like that to the table, which means the way that we define common language is going to be different than the person across from us might define common language. Now, sometimes you might land on the same definition. I would say that's rarely going to happen. Rarely going to happen. So it's always a good idea to define common language, because that's the exact language that we assume is understood. And so whenever you start to communicate with people or have a discussion or an argument or anything, any conversation, you can start to go, okay, what do you mean by that? Or you can say, okay, what does that look like? For example, if for the couple that the wife kept saying, you never put me first. Well, he would always say, I do put you first. You know, I hand over my paycheck. You get to buy what you want. You get to do what you want. You've got me on the budget, you know, and I'm the one bringing in the money. You're not working. And so I don't understand how that's not putting you first. But she never would, that would never suffice. And the reason was, that's not what she meant. Okay, her definition of putting her first was more of, put me first in your mental headspace. Think about me. Consider me. Listen to me. His definition was more physical. Like, I work, I provide, I give you the money, I let you do what you want. And so they were totally misfiring for 30 plus years on this one common language they were using that they weren't defining. And so they weren't making progress. And so this is something, like I said, this is easy. I think the hardest part about doing this is going to be pulling out the common language that needs defining. Okay, because that requires us to slow down, think about what we're saying, think about what maybe what we've said over and over and over that we're not getting any resolution to, and start to pull those things out of our vocabulary and our communication so we can start to say, all right, before I can define common language, I need to figure out what common language I use that might not be understood. And so if you've got someone saying, you never spend time with me, okay, maybe your best friend is saying, you never spend time with me like you used to. And in your mind, you're like, I mean, we talk on the phone every day. What more do you want? You know, define the common language. Hey, you never spend any time with me. So then you could say, what do you mean by that? Or what's your idea of spending time together? And she might say, like, when you used to come over and we would just hang out on the couch and have a glass of wine and or whatever. And here you are thinking that you're doing that by talking on the phone, but that's not at all her definition of spending time together. So these things matter. These are so simple. These are, it's like a little hidden secret ingredient to the recipe of relationships, okay? It's easy. This is easy. You can do this. And so all you have to do is start to identify where you need to do this. And then, of course, like your tone matters, you know? I mean, if someone's saying something to you, like, we always fight about the same things. Now, if you go back with like, what do we always fight about? Like, that is not a very inviting conversation, okay? But if you do genuinely ask in a curious tone, like, what things do we always fight about? What are the recurring topics that you see us fighting about constantly? And then they can tell you, right? Hopefully, sometimes they won't be able to tell you. Or if someone says, like, I wish we did fun things together, you might be like, we do fun things together. But if you say that, you know, that's not going to help. So you might say, what could fun look like for us? What does it look like for you when we do fun things together? Okay. Or maybe it's like, you don't appreciate me. You do not appreciate me. And instead of being like, I do too appreciate you. I say thank you to you every single time you do X, Y, or Z. Or I rub your back every single night when we go to bed or something like that. Instead of arguing with it, you say, what makes you feel appreciated? Because then you know what they expect, right? It's all about the definitions. And y'all know that this gets me excited. And I think one reason why this topic makes me so giddy is because a lot of this is the idea of unraveling, right? I mean, you hear a word that's commonly used and I'm asking you to go further with it. What does that mean? Define it, which is the essence of this whole podcast. So no wonder I'm excited about this topic. But even in parenting, like, I hear so many parents like, you know, you will treat me with respect, or if you're going to live in this house, you're going to be respectful. Well, guess what? It is 2024. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the kids these days' definition of respect is real different than ours, than the parents. Okay, that's just my guess. So you might want to get a little clearer on defining what respect is to you. What specific things do you want to experience from your child that is respectful to you? And asking them, what do you think respect is? Like, how do you show respect? Because once they give you their definition of respect, you might realize that they're being very respectful based on what they thought it was. But once they learn your definition, they might go, oh, I did not realize that that's what it meant. I didn't know you wanted me to do those things. I thought I was being respectful. And so these are the kinds of things that create misfires in our relationships that lead to destruction. I mean, they lead to them breaking down, right? And it's not that hard to get back up on the right track. It's just a little matter of noticing common language that we're using and throwing around a lot and then going, wait a second, what do you mean by that? Because I think we mean something different. And that's it. Like, that's it. It's that simple. And so that's good news because, like I said, sometimes the things we talk about here are not that simple, but this one actually really, really is. And so I hope you'll use it. I hope you'll apply it, you know, start to think about these things because it's really hard to be successful in any relationship or any setting where there's more than one person. It's very hard to be successful if you don't understand the meaning behind the common language that gets thrown around a lot. You know, and if this were in the context of like leading an organization or people on a team, you might throw around like our mission. But are you sure that everybody knows what your mission really is? Are you sure that you've clearly defined your mission? These are things that we say a lot that, you know, in the church even, oh, you know, we're saved or surrender or these words that we discipleship throw around a lot. Guess what? They're common language in the church, but they mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so the clearer you can be on defining them, the more successful you're going to be at moving things in the right direction because you're bringing everyone along instead of just assuming that they are keeping up. Because nine times out of 10, they're not. So this is really easy. And I hope you will try this. And first, you have to figure out where it's happening. And then you have to be ready to define some things. Now, one little hiccup I could see happening with this, because I mean, here I am saying how easy it is. I'm trying to think of the ways that it could be difficult, that it may not be as easy as I think it is, just because I'm excited about it. Maybe not everyone is that excited and sees it to be so easy. Is that if you're not willing to accept someone's definition, if you're just not ready to move on, sometimes we just want to hold on to stuff just because we're mad. So even if they define it, we're like, well, that's wrong, you know. But more so, it's like be accepting of their definition, okay? And then share your definition so you can kind of find some common ground. If you can't find common ground in defining it, then pick a different word, right? Change the language up to something that you can agree on that means the same thing to you. And also, we tend to really like complaining, so be prepared, okay? Be prepared for you or the other people or person not to know what it means to you. Prepare to have to really think about that. If someone asks you, you know, what does it mean when we spend time together? You might be like, oh crap, like I really liked complaining about that, but I don't really know what I want to do to spend time with them. I don't know what that means to me. Because as humans, like our number one thing is to complain and point out everything that's wrong or that we disagree with. But the harder part of that is to come up with a solution or to come up with a resolution of things that would work better. And so the same goes for this. It's easy to complain and be like, you never do this, you never do that. But when they go, okay, well, what is that? What does that look like? You're like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes you might have to think about it, and that's okay. Just be honest. Be like, you know what? That's a good question. I've complained about it a lot, but I don't really know. I don't really know what I really want. So I'm going to need to think about that and get back to you. That's perfectly fine. And if they need to think about it and get back to you, that's perfectly fine. You'd rather them think about it and not know and admit that than to come up with some fake answer. It's not going to make them happy. And then you go try to do that thing and it wasn't really it because they didn't even assess really what they really wanted. So those are a couple things you could run into along the way. But I know like John and I, we have had plenty of these conversations over the years of defining common language. Some of the things have been kind of a big deal. And some of the things have been, you know, very small, but it's a good one. It's a little secret sauce to make any relationship go a little bit smoother. And so this works in all interactions, in all the things. It doesn't matter if it's your parents, your children, your boss, your friend, your husband, your wife. It will help. Guaranteed. It might take some getting used to, but again, don't let it sneak by you, because the whole kicker is it's common language. Okay. It's the things that you would never think need definitions put to them. Okay. That's why it's so tricky. So as always, I'm glad you joined me today. I hope you find this concept to be helpful, and I hope you feel encouraged and equipped to go out and try it. I would love to hear about it. Find me on Instagram at Miranda Kirk. Email me, ru@MirandaKirk. I would love to hear from you. I appreciate you. And don't forget to feel proud of yourself for showing up at this podcast, where we get challenged to try new things and we go out and we try it. So that's really encouraging. Thanks for being here. I hope to meet you back here next week. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of the Relationships Unraveled podcast. If you love the episode, please share it on social media and be sure to tag me. Find me at Miranda Kirk, and let's continue the conversation. I hope you'll tune in again next week.